Scripture reading this morning is from Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. When you have entered the land the Lord God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all your produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God has given you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Armenian, and he went down to Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that your Lord has given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you, you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you and your household. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, may the Lord God open our hearts and minds as we now receive the word in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Friends, this is the gospel message of our Savior. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It was an especially cold and harsh winter in Massachusetts. And Kelly always wrestled with that time of year. While she remembered the many fun times of winter in childhood, be it sledding in her grandparents' backyard, or ice skating, or maybe even some pickup hockey games down by the cranberry bog with friends. Well, now she just couldn't shake the blues she felt these last few years. Now a grown woman, well, Kelly had different responsibilities. She had her family, her kids. Well, she had a job and bills to take care of. But work had been a bit shaky the last couple of years. Given the uncertainty in the economy, her division, well, was downsized a couple times. But she often felt that she was just one misstep away from losing it all, from being let go. Of course, that would have been plenty cause for concern by itself, but there was more to Kelly's story. You see, she had been raised in the church, but as years went by, she felt like she kind of drifted away a bit. Grew apart, you might say. In time, Kelly simply stopped going to worship. She kind of faded away and just became comfortable, really, with having that extra time, or what she thought was extra time, to herself, to relax on Sundays. While everything may have seemed all right on the surface, at first anyway, well, Kelly was dealt a bit of a sucker punch one Friday when she learned a bit of crushing, tough news. Her husband had suddenly lost his job. The company he worked for over a decade, well, they decide rather suddenly to relocate their operations abroad. And well, they simply went with the option of closing down the plant he worked at. And that was that. Enter a bit of a panic mode. Kind of settles into her. Already a bit in the hot seat with the news of her husband's job loss, Kelly became even more frantic and irritable at work. Even though she knew her performance was paramount, the stress really had got to her. It was more than she could handle. It broke her down a bit, and she started to lose that grip that she thought she had left. Finding herself devastatingly worried about family finances, what would happen? Well, Kelly began cutting corners she wouldn't normally do at work. A bit justified at first in her own mind, she began to take small amounts of cash from the company on-site safe. At first, Kelly thought she'd just take a couple dollars. You know, nobody'd notice that. But each week, when she noticed that money just kept getting added there, it kept coming back, well, she grew a bit more bold and started to take even more, hundreds of dollars in time at a pop. What could go wrong? She thought to herself. Nobody really could trace this back to her anyway, and plus, her family needed it, she thought. Now, before we throw her under the bus and tear poor Kelly to shreds here, which we could do easily, we do well to remind ourselves that she's not alone in succumbing to temptation, right? I mean, going through stressful times, especially when we're down, or down on our luck, if we believe in luck, well, that can open us up to all kinds of doors to temptation. Years since being immersed in the moral compass of her childhood church. Kelly was slowly and gradually becoming lost in the wilderness. A bit up the creek without a paddle, you might say. Either way, she was wandering, right? And a bit floundering. A bit lost. Now we see similar patterns of wandering and a bit of floundering in Scripture as well, right? Not that they necessarily had grown apart from their faith or their childhood faith, precisely as had Kelly, but we see the Israelites go astray in the Sinai wilderness, don't we? After being delivered from their bondage, from their slavery in Egypt, you'd think the Israelites would be in awe of God's compassion, of God's great mercy, and His giving heart for humanity, for rescuing them. But rather than to stay focused on God and on His ways, well, what do? Well, in the wilderness, the Israelites complain about their provisions. Not enough food. They whine. Right away. They also craft a golden calf, which they soon worship. And they cry out that they wish they could return to Egypt, to go back to the way things were. The good old days. Not the 1950s, but, you know, a different time. Or the 80s. Hey, gotta date myself a little bit. So in some ways, we see how they failed their time of trial, just as had Kelly, a little bit. When pushed through the pressure cooker of temptation, when the going got rough, well, the Israelites, they kind of went the wrong way. They went against God's wishes and denied the blessings and deliverance He had actually already provided. Kind of even before they deserved it, right? Like Kelly in their brokenness, the Israelites lost their moral compass. They wandered and they floundered a bit lost. But how does Jesus respond to temptation? Right? Well, here in Luke, we witness that Jesus was first full of the Holy Spirit. Right? Luke tells us this. More than this, after His baptism, Jesus is actually led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, throughout which time He suffered great hunger, having no food at all during this time. Now, we have no record that anyone was present with Him. At least the Scriptures don't say this. Except for the Spirit and the devil, or his temptations. Now, 40 days is no joke, right? And we remember Jesus is human. We're a congregational church. We could talk about, you know, a different theology of that. But Jesus is human, right? So this is a long time. We can imagine that Jesus must have been nearly delirious when being confronted with the temptations we read about here in Luke. Not only is He battling a crippling hunger, but Jesus is also in the wilderness, a weird place, far away from friends and family or any other earthly support system. But how He responds here is quite different than the way Israel did in the wilderness. Though tempted to use His power to change a stone to food, Jesus resists in His faithfulness and obedience to God and God's plan. One does not live by bread alone, Jesus affirms by quoting Scripture, right? And you see we have the Greek of that. And not only, right, and not about just avoiding hunger, right? That's not all it's about. Perhaps there's more to that than what we think, right? So when tempted to trade His faithfulness to God for the falsely promised power of the devil, right? The devil doesn't really have that. Jesus returns to Scripture again, saying, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only Him," right? Not all the things buzzing around us all the time. God made a lot of those things through us, but we don't serve them. Again, there's more to God's plans than to simply find ways to amass power and influence in the world. We're not sustained by food alone, and we do not do whatever it takes just to take control ourselves. Then the devil takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. And this is an important place, right? Not only a holy place, right, associated with the presence of God. God's presence, right? Not only that, but also a place that communicates this in a way that we wouldn't really understand typically today. We think of God being present to us wherever we are in Jesus by the Spirit. Right, we remember the tabernacle moving all around is communicating God's presence in the temple. Well, the high priest was the only one who could go really in the Holy of Holies. This is a very heightened thing, right? So the devil's really calling Jesus out here. He may be in the wilderness, but he's also on thin ice. So it's here in this sacred space that Jesus receives this third really tricky temptation. To throw himself off the temple, off the most holy place, God's presence, to throw himself from that in order to prove that God would rescue him from death, an almost certain death, that he would not hit the ground. He's really calling him out, kind of like that bully. But once again, Jesus does not fall for it, right? Rather, he returns to the teaching of the Bible, of God's Word, saying, it said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. At this, the tempter leaves him. But not forever, right? That's a pretty tricky part of this gospel passage. For Luke says the devil leaves until an opportune time may come. We know that the work of brokenness continues on later as we see it, certainly in Judas, in the betrayal of Jesus. So we see where the Israelites failed to honor God, well, Jesus prevailed through some pretty hard temptation. And where Kelly from our story, where Kelly fell victim to her own trials, right? And perhaps those pressures around her really got her down, and she did take that money. Well, Jesus resists. And Jesus is obedient even when he might have taken power or control, even when it might have gotten to him. In the wilderness, Jesus remains faithful to God and to his plan. Now, curiously for us, we witness how the Spirit is with Jesus throughout these challenges, right? That's kind of cool. Nobody else is there that we hear about, but Jesus isn't alone either. The Spirit is with him. Also, we see that while Jesus could have taken the easy way out at any point, right? Again, we could debate this, but I'd affirm Jesus as fully divine, fully human. So I think, well, Jesus could have decided to do something else. Something pretty cool and dramatic. Even though he could have done that at any point, he repeatedly refused to compromise his faith in God and God's plan and God's timing, God's appointed timing. What was his main tool of defense, or as we have it here in Scripture? Well, Scripture. Scripture points to itself again. Jesus reflects on the Word of God when faced with temptation in the wilderness. And yet we might wonder, we might ask ourselves, what does the wilderness really look like for us today, in our own daily lives? It probably looks different, right? Is it the stressful pressure cooker of job loss and financial trouble that we saw with somebody like Kelly? Is it the black hole of the disease of drug addiction or other mental illness or terminal sickness around us? Is it the deforming power and patterns of abuse or previous trauma? Maybe even trauma we didn't know about, we don't remember. Or the being told endlessly that our views do not count. Somehow they're less than everybody else's. That we must conform to the agenda of someone else in order to survive. What is the wilderness for you? Well, friends, while the wilderness and its temptations may look a little bit different for each one of us, we're congregationalists after all, right? Sometimes you have 5 people and 20 points of view, something like that. Hopefully only maybe 1 motion at some point. But while that way may look different for each one of us, right? Sitting right next to each other. No doubt we all can share in the blessing of learning from Jesus' example, his lived, real, challenging, hard example here in Luke. When faced with a sudden shock or even a season, maybe long, a season of challenge, we might ask ourselves or a loved one ask us for us if we can't. How am I being faithful to God through this? How can we do this? Where do we see God's word in this hard time? Naming it as a hard time. Because maybe it is. Or even what voices seem to be calling me out or calling out to me in the dark? What do those sound like? Sisters and brothers, as we live into this new year, an historic year, really, an historic year of the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims' landing at Plymouth, we commit ourselves to continual reminders of repentance that we may keep our hearts fixed on God's will and God's word. And as we approach that empty tomb of Easter, which we can do all the year through, not only come Easter time. I've had some pastors tell me they celebrate Easter every day. So not only when we approach that empty tomb, we can remember all the trials that Jesus, our Savior, made it through along the way. And these are some hard trials. We see even in the cross how he welcomes somebody in, dying on the cross next to him. Amazing. Read to the end of Luke. We have our good thief and the not-so-nice guy next to him. Most of all, we remember and are inspired by Jesus' story of the way he responded in the face of such trial. Ever faithful to God's will and word, Jesus resists all attempts to distract him and to try to get in the way between him and the Father, which is what the tempter is trying to do, to get in the way. To get in the way from his purpose and fulfilling God's plan for salvation. But we see that doesn't happen because Jesus, he had faith in the wilderness. And the Spirit of God was with him through it all. The Spirit was with him. May it be so for us in our own times, our own seasons of trial, small or great as they may be. Friends, may God guide us and grant us the strength to persevere through all the challenges that may come our way, that we may bear witness to his love for us in Jesus, giving all the glory to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May it be so. Amen.